Welcome back, everyone, to the Time Out with Gladys and Ulla podcast. And if you missed out on last week's episode, go watch it, the Google rabbit hole, where we had a beautiful guest expert on, Mr. Kirk Nugent. And our conversation was so fun, so full of enriching information that we just had to invite Kirk back for another episode. So welcome back, Kirk.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here again.
And today I wanted Kirk to be part of today's conversation because we're going to be talking about how you need this reminder to stop swimming upstream in life. Unless, of course, you're a salmon, in which case we support the salmon too.
Especially if you're swimming upstream to mate.
Yeah.
By any means necessary.
And Kirk is an avid proponent of that as well. So
not swimming upstream to mate, but just to mate, yes.
Yes. So today we are going to unpack all these ridiculous ways that we make life way too freaking hard on ourselves and how to actually notice when you are swimming upstream. Because I think a lot of times, and I've said this before, we are doing the best that we can, especially those of us that have been on the spiritual path or the personal development path. We're trying to do everything right. We're trying our hardest to put all these tools and resources and teachings into practice. But that's the problem. We're trying hard. So Ulla, tell us a little bit about how the trying hard fucks things up and gets the current going upstream and then makes our life really, really difficult in just a matter of moments.
Yes. Okay. So let's first things first. You say fucks things up. Okay. That means that the things might get fucked up, but you are still not doing anything wrong and you're not fucking up. So got to put that reminder out there. Mm-hmm. We talked about this on our last episode, and Kirk really brought it up really, really beautifully, that we are programmed to self-destruct. So we start looking for evidence of that things are going to go wrong and things are going to get fucked up. And we learn from very early age that you have to work hard. Things have to be hard or it's not real. Mm-hmm. So when things are easy and fun, like it is for us, and we're not doing anything right, according to the business professionals, we're not doing anything right. But somehow we have over 1,000 downloads on this podcast, and we are in, 22 countries and 188 cities. Somehow we're still doing that. Just by having fun and making it easy.
Mm-hmm. Until Gladys decides to swim upstream and then, you know, have these business sessions with Ulla that just get very boring quickly. And then we have to hang up because a connection drops. So.
But that is the universe working on my behalf. Because it's like, okay, yeah, this conversation is over.
You know, and Kirk and I have experienced that too, that there is this really beautiful, fun way in which the universe, dead people, whoever you want to refer to, will intervene on our behalf. And when we are not in sync, when we are talking about something that just doesn't need to be focused on, our calls will drop and we'll all know that that's a sign that we need to just move on to something different. So today I thought it would be really fun and just, Ulla, you touched on it. I think the way that you and I have chosen to create this platform on our podcast and chosen to evolve many of the things that are in production for our audience, combined, Kirk, with my conversations with you about how you're preparing for this beautiful next chapter of evolution in your business, I thought it would be really fun for us to just talk about how easy it can be to fall into that habit of swimming upstream and what we've done in that process to really catch ourselves from going more and more upstream and really allowing ourselves to settle into the ease of enjoying this experience, but also really tapping into the magic of our times where anything is possible in very short amount of time, and magic can be created just with a snap of a finger.
Absolutely. Let me first set the table for the audience, though, because what's important is we have to acknowledge the fact that it's more difficult to unlearn something than to learn something. Mm. And when we were born into this program, this matrix, we were told if we cannot register it with the five senses, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And the spirit cannot be registered with the five senses. And we're spiritual beings. We're not physical beings per se. We're spiritual beings. So what you, Gladys and Ula, are talking about is tapping into the spirit. And we were led to believe, well, that doesn't really have any validation because we can't measure it. And when it has all the validation in the world, right? Now, if you guys go back to when you were kids and you remember, there were things you were doing that you were in having fun, and the time just went by like that. You thought you were doing it for 15 minutes. It was 3 hours went by, 4 or 5 hours, right? You're not even hungry. You don't even stop. That's when you're doing what you're here to do. And the other thing, just like Ula mentioned, we were taught it had to be hard. Mm-hmm. So if we go up against a door and the door is closed, we're now knuckled up to kick that door in. When the universe is saying, oh, that's, you know, go through another direction. But we don't get those signs that the universe is pointing us in another direction. That's why the door is closed. So we beat the crap out the door. And then by the time we open it, we're exhausted. And we open it for the wrong reason. We don't trust that if this door is closed, then another one someplace else is open with more welcoming stuff. So the point that I'm making, I'm asking the audience to get back or get to trusting their inner knowing. When you're beating against the door, you know that this doesn't feel good. And if it doesn't feel good, it's not God. God feels good. That's where it comes from. So when you're feeling good, you're in that God mode, that God state, and things become effortlessly. When you're in a relationship and you're in love, it feels good. It's effortless. It's easy. It's a nice dance. When you start bickering and fighting, it doesn't feel good. You're like, ugh. So again, I'm asking the audience, go back to trusting what feels good. Because this is your guidance system telling you, Ula, this is a door for you, baby. But if you go over here like, well, my brother went through this door, I'm going to kick the shit out of this one, and this, it'll never work. So we can't get to that good feeling, Gladys and Ula, until we start trusting that even though my mind is telling me to go through this door, because again, if I want to use biblical terminology, because I said I'm philosophically promiscuous, the Bible says, I have ways that ye know not of, meaning the higher mind have ways that the conscious mind doesn't know about. But if you allow the heart to lead you, the heart is connected with the higher mind and it would lead you through that door. But again, everything that I've said in the last 5 minutes, you've been taught in school is bullshit. It cannot be trusted. Can you measure the heart and the higher self with your five senses? No. So you can't rely on them. So right now we're moving into a time, and this podcast that you ladies are doing is ushering people into that consciousness that the outside noise is not for you anymore. That was so 2020. Right now, what we're doing right now is to go within the heart and see what resonates. And if you can just start trusting that a little more, not even 100%, because I know for the past 40 years, you've been programmed not to trust it, but start trusting it in even the little areas and look for the magic. And then trust in a little bigger area and look for the magic. And I promise you, I guarantee you, you will see the magic. It doesn't happen. It's like a muscle. It doesn't happen overnight. But you start building it, Ula, over and over. And all of a sudden, you're like Clark Kent, a tower of strength, even your discontent, right? So you just get bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. So to the audiences listening, there's magic ahead. We're in magical times. But if you're still using your five senses to process, the five senses can't process magic. They don't know a goddamn thing about magic. So you have to move out of your five senses and allow the spirit to see the magic. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, I'm in love with some Kurt Nugent. Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love it. Okay, so how do we go beyond the five senses?
It's a muscle, Gladys. So it's little by little. So I would say take something that's not so important to you, right? Let's say you have a passion in, I don't know, you want to start a side business, but it's just something that you love and you don't really need to make money from it. It's just something that you love to do, but your intention. And just allow now, take your conscious mind out and say, well, you know what? I'm just going to do this for fun. As a matter of fact, you're asking me and you guys did it. What are you talking about? This is the podcast that you did. So talk about that, because exactly, you didn't set any intention like, Ula, okay, let's get together. And after the first podcast, we should be making about $2,000. And then after the third one, we should have X amount. You said none of that. You said, let's just turn the camera on and say what's on our mind. You took the five senses out of it and you went to your heart and bam, the magic happened. As simple as that. So don't even ask me how you do it. You did it.
So Ula, how did we do it?
How did we do it? We just did it.
Right. No conscious blueprint to lay everything down. You went away from what everyone told you. Ula, listen, Gladys, if you guys want to have a successful podcast, well, first of all, get the paper out. Here's the blueprint. Now, what does your avatar look like? Who's your audience? Where do they live? How much do they make per year? What is the problem that they're dealing with? You did none of that. You just said, turn the camera on and we're just going to talk. And all of a sudden, people start tuning in because you know what? They could tell these ladies are speaking from their heart. There's no hidden agenda. They're not trying to do anything other than just share what they've learned. And people from all over the world started tuning in because that's the energy we're in now. We're communicating with the heart, the mind. We're not even doing that anymore. Because again, the new babies that are coming in, if you notice, in our generation, we were willing to sacrifice so much for a career. The new babies that are coming in, they're like, I'm not doing none of that shit. They just want to have fun. That's all. They came here to have fun and they're not willing to sacrifice anything but the fun. And we need to get back to being a child so we can have fun. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Get back to being childlike.
And it can be scary at first because when you've been swimming upstream for last 30, 40, 50 years, you have to let go. Like that's the first step. You have to let go so that your boat can turn around and you can go with the stream, down the stream. So it can feel a little scary at first.
It's terrible. If you're with your partner and you let go, the partner's going to be like, what the hell are you doing? We don't let go. We roll our boats to where we want to go. So you could dismantle your entire life just by stepping into this new consciousness. You have to be aware of that. But it's a much easier and effortless way to do life. And you attract so much good. Like, Ula, you know this. And Gladys, look at the people in your life right now. You just have beautiful, amazing people. But it wasn't always like that. When you were rowing upstream, bunch of toxic muff. You know what I'm saying. Bunch of toxic people just all over your life. But the minute you decide to let go and just go with who you are, all of a sudden those people, they just gone because they live upstream. They don't go with the flow. So you going with the flow, they can't go with you. And your life just become this beautiful symphony of majestic awesomeness.
The man with the words. Okay, so let's focus on the letting go, because the part of me that has an issue with the spiritual world that says things like that, let go, just be, right? Focus on the positive. It does paint a picture for those that are very linear and type A and perfectionistic, like I have been in my life, to be like, well, how the fuck do I do that? Like, if I knew how to do it, I would be doing it. I'm not trying to swim upstream because I enjoy it. So I want us to really, and we've been focusing on business, and I want to stay with that because I do know that there are ways in which I default back to old programming. Kirk, I know that you default back to old programming sometimes. And then Ula is the unicorn on the opposite end of the spectrum that we have to calibrate back to a place where we can bridge together to then take that next effortless step. So when it comes to letting go, and I loved what Ula said, it's we got to be gentle with ourselves. And this is something that she's repeated over and again on our platform, is being gentle with yourself means you don't engage in mental dialogue where you're beating yourself up. And in order for you to know if you're doing that or not, you have to be self-aware. Kirk talked about this in the previous episode. Okay. We've also talked about how you got to get your nervous system to chill out. But here's where I want us to go. And I would love for Ula and Kirk to share some examples that you've personally been through that work for you. When you're engaged in a task, okay, and this might be something for your job or if you are a business owner or whatever it is, but say you're focusing on a new endeavor and you believe you know the path to get there. And then you start taking steps towards that path according to what you believe is the path to get there. And then it's not fun. Then it feels exhausting. Then you feel a little bit more confused, or then you realize like, oh shit, I need to go learn about this platform in order to connect it to this platform. Because if I don't know how to do that, then how am I going to get paid? And then that leads you down the Google rabbit hole of reading a shitload of articles about how you should be doing this endeavor. And then all of a sudden you feel depleted. How do you get out of that state?
Abraham Hicks would say you get out of it before you get into it. And
catch yourself.
Yeah. But I'll share a story with you with that. 2012 was a devastating year for me. Right. And I'm devastated in the fact that I was depressed. I felt like nothing was working for me. And, it was the most challenging year emotionally. And when I got to 2013, I look back and go, oh my God, I didn't have to go through 2012 depressed, because I still end up at 2013. So I chose to make myself miserable the entire time when I could have had fun, because either way, I still ended up at 2013. I don't know if that might not be profound for the audience, but for me, it was life changing when I realized even in the worst or the darkest night, I could choose the emotions that I'm going to have. Now, going with the business, the thing is, when I said Abraham says, you know, you get out of it before you get into it. If you're working on this thing and you're developing momentum and going in one direction, and then as you're developing momentum going in this direction, remember, the bills are still coming. The wife still needs whatever she needs, and the kids are still acting up. All of this stuff is going on as you develop momentum going forward, and you realize, oh, my God, this is not working. Once you realize that the stress factor is going to be so much, it's going to be almost impossible for you to turn and let go. So there's a saying that says either let go or be dragged. So what I mean by you do it before you get there, the minute you start getting the hint that, okay, this doesn't feel good, stop and say, okay, what can we do that feels good? But if you allow the momentum to carry to the bottom of the hill where now you're just so overwhelmed, you can't turn back. You can't let go. It doesn't work like that. You have to and again, it goes back to the self-awareness that we spoke about last week. You have to catch yourself to say, wait a minute, I'm not feeling good. Yeah, I know I'm trying to make some money right now, but this doesn't feel good. It feels heavy. What else can I do? And I don't know. So you know what? Let me at least stop and ask my higher self. Let me meditate and ask for help. Because again, as a man coming from Jamaica, that's something I didn't know how to do, to ask for help. We just don't do that. So I learned to ask my higher self, like, listen, guys, I trust you guys. Help me out. I'm scared. I'll confess to my higher self. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I don't know what's going to happen. Right now, I'm terrified. You can feel my heart beating. Help me. I don't like this feeling. And I might drop off to sleep and an idea might come to me. And when the idea comes, I act on it. Or I might have the idea to call this person. Or something, but something will come to you if you start catching it before it gets too deep. Does that make sense?
What about you, Ula? What helps you turn the boat around, swim downstream where things get difficult?
Well, like Kirk mentioned, getting out of it before you get into it, catching yourself. And we have talked about this on a lot of episodes, and giving yourself gold stars every time you catch yourself of feeling depleted or feeling bad. And it sounds oversimplified, but it really is that simple. It's not always easy, because you've programmed yourself to be swimming upstream and feeling bad, and it has to be hard. So it's not always easy, because that difficult and hard, it feels so comfortable and familiar. So it's not necessarily easy to catch yourself, but it is that simple. Mm-hmm. That once you catch yourself and this doesn't feel good, depending how far back you've gone, you either need to get knocked out or you take a nap or you meditate, one of the three. And once you come out of the knocked out state or of your nap, that's when you can do a little meditation and breathing exercise, your reset remedy, and then be like, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm. And this is where I would say, like, even a meditation like Bliss Off, or a meditation that I don't think we've named yet. Yes, we did. What's it called, Ula?
Is that the final name? I can be happy anywhere.
I am happy anywhere. Something like that.
Yeah. I'm happy anywhere. Yes, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it.
So maybe by the time this is live, it'll be out on YouTube, which means I need to get my ass in gear and write up the description, which is going to be so much fun. I've already been working on it. These meditations that Ula and I have done, it's interesting, because as I'm listening to them, I listen to them in various scenarios. So there's a typical scenario that we think of with meditation, which is you're sitting in lotus position, right? You've got the Zen music on, you close your eyes, and you're supposed to drop into this magical space where you are connected to higher source and clear out all the thoughts in your head and feel enlightened. Well, that state is so fucking rare for me to feel when it comes to meditation that I've just put it to the side. Like, I don't even try to go there. Instead, I've been listening to our meditations while I'm driving the car, while I'm washing the dishes, while I am drawing, right? And what I'm finding is that our meditation meet you where you're at, which is usually in a scattered, frenzied, chaotic, distracted state, and we gently guide you to a grounded, clear state. That's all we're doing. Okay, we're not doing anything more complicated than that. But the minute you leave that chaotic, distracted state, you're coming out of that dust cloud. That is when you root back into yourself and see things a lot more clearly. And we practice this all the time. You know, it's not like you achieve this end goal and graduate there, and then everything is always bliss and everything is always easy. But there is value in practicing this mode of being, because as you practice, things get way simpler. Now, Ula and I, in our podcast, when we created it, I tried to take us down that path of, well, we got to think of a topic, and what do we want our audience to know, and who are we speaking to? Ula's response was, I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter. And then the part of me that had been trained by all the business courses that I had taken online, it's like, yeah, but if we're not speaking their language, they're not going to know it's for them. And then we're just kind of saying random stuff. Well, anyway, we dropped that conversation for I don't know how many months, because energetically we weren't aligning in a way that kept things stupid, easy, fun. And that's our mantra. Everything that we do together is stupid, easy, fun. And when it's not, we step away from it. Okay. And then that's a moment for me to uncoil myself and get out of my old modus operandus. And that's time for Ula to laugh at Gladys, because Gladys is like swimming upstream again. And she's trying to remind me to just like take it easy. And then I get on the phone with Kirk, and then I talk about how I'm swimming upstream again and how difficult that can be. And then Kirk kindly listens to me and then drops some massive wisdom bomb on me that gets me to be like, oh, everything is amazing. And that's what Kirk was saying at the beginning of today's episode. You have to go back to trusting yourself and the process. Nothing's getting fucked up. You're not doing anything wrong, but your trust muscle definitely needs to get developed even more, so that when you turn yourself around to swim downstream and go with the flow, you're not resisting it because you're afraid that you're going to drown and die, because you are going to die. So you might as well enjoy the ride there.
Yep.
And another tidbit to Gladys, just to piggyback on what you said, when you're swimming upstream, because I've done it as well, what I do is create for myself the thing that I call safety nets, right? Mm-hmm. And what I do with these safety nets, because I also understand that swimming upstream, a lot of times it's just a programming. So what Ula was saying before, the average person is programmed to believe that you have to work hard for great success. That's in our DNA. That's in our programming. But you look at the Jeff Bezos or the billionaires of the world. They don't work hard. They might work long hours doing what they love, but they don't work hard. Working hard is a Mexican on a roof in Florida at 120 degree heat making less than $10 per hour. That's working hard. So the people who work hard generally struggle financially, but we have this mindset, we have to work hard for success. So again, the safety net that I would use is money can be made in magical ways. Money can be made effortlessly. So when I go upstream, like, oh my God, Kirk, you need to work harder, I just drop into my safety net and I keep saying, Kirk, money can be made in magical ways. Money can be made effortlessly. And it starts changing that programming. So it's the same thing with anything that any of the listeners are going through. They know what their thing is. Just create a safety net, which is an alternate conversation around that script, and start repeating it to yourself. And sooner or later, that will become your mantra. And it will become your default, where you no longer think you have to work hard for success. The first time I said that to my sister, who believed you have to work hard for success, she almost had a heart attack. You have to work hard. Oh my God, how could you say something like that? But again, I understood it was her programming. So most people listening, they might think the same thing, because that's the program. You must work really, really hard. But if you look at the billionaires, like I said, they don't work hard for money. They leverage other people's time, they leverage things for money. They don't believe in working hard. They might work long hours, but it's on something they're passionate about. There's nothing wrong with you working long hours on something you're passionate about, because just like we spoke about in the last episode, when you're a kid and you're doing something that you love, the time goes by like that. So you'll work 8 hours and it feels like 2 hours. So that's fine. But again, the toil, the struggle, we have to let go of that. Like I said in the last episode, that is so 2020.
Yeah. And I can add to that, working really hard, what a wrong idea that really is. Because when you look at the people who really make money, especially in US, it's the athletes, it's the actors. And now I work in the film industry, so I know what kind of hours we as a crew put in, but the actors are not there that long and they make millions.
Yeah.
And same thing with athletes. They make millions and millions doing what they love. Mm-hmm. And like Kirk said, Jeff Bezos, he's making billions doing what he loves. And the common denominator here is love.
Love.
You have to love what you do.
And also, I would say that work, this is a word that has just not been resonating for me for quite a while. If you were to replace the word work with create, how would that change your inner dialogue, right? I have to go to work. I have to go create. Totally different resonance, right? There's no creating hard. That doesn't even make sense. Right? It's like you
create so hard.
Yeah. I created so hard today. I'm exhausted. Why am I creating hard for this 2-week vacation? When you look at what you're doing through the lens of create, that gives you a quick perspective as to whether or not you really are in that creative energy, or if you are imposing work energy into something that can be really, really powerful.
And then as you're playing with the language, you, like you said, you switch from I have to go work to I have to go create. Eventually you switch that to I choose to go. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So again, that's a different, because have to is like, I don't really feel like it, but I have to. But now I choose. I choose to do this. And this is what I'm choosing to do. Yeah, there's only two things we really have to do. We have to die and we have to live until we die. Everything else is a choice.
I love that.
And even when we die, we don't really die. We just live.
Yeah, we go through a door and we're in a different dimension.
Yeah, exactly. It just continues.
Which is why we get to actually bring that all into this current life experience, right? It mm-hmm. all continues, and all the people that have crossed over the other side report the same thing. It's magical. It's expansive. It's joyful. It's playful. It's loving. So why not experience that now? Whether it is in your personal life, whether it's in your career, in your relationships, it doesn't matter. And Kirk has said earlier, we are in such a magical time right now where there is so much support for us to step into the knowing that we are creators. Every single one of us are creators. And we have the power to create the realities that we live in. So why not create something that is fun, that is light, that is energizing for you? And when you start to notice yourself swimming upstream, catch yourself, shift the dialogue with safety nets that you develop for yourself, or use some of the safety nets that we've talked about today or in past episodes, and just get your energy going in a different direction so that you can trust the flow elsewhere. And I want to repeat something that Kirk said earlier. We've been taught that if the door doesn't open, we need to bang it down. If the door doesn't open, trust that that's a sign from universe that there's another door that is so much easier to open with so much more magic on the other side. And this helps so much to dissolve resentment, dissolve worry, dissolve anger, or a need for retribution, especially around other people. When things come to an end, it's time for the door to close. So move to the door that's open. And it really is that simple. And if you can embrace the simplicity, that is where you then can let go with ease.
And I want your audience to know that even though we're saying all of this stuff with such confidence, we're still practicing it. We have not perfected. Maybe Ula. I don't know. Maybe Ula is perfect.
She is a unicorn here.
Yeah. But we're still
practice every day.
Right. So we're still practicing. So I don't want you to listen to this and go, oh my God, I'll never get to where they are. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a muscle. We keep practicing. And every day we catch ourselves and like, oh my God, okay, next time is an opportunity to do this differently. So again, Ula said it early, and I believe Gladys said it, be gentle with yourself. You know, this is a process, and it's a journey. It's a process. It's not something that you do overnight and your consciousness and everything's supposed to switch. Just being aware of what's going on internally is a great step. You're far ahead of most people on the planet, being aware of your internal dialogue and knowing why you're feeling what you're feeling. You're so much more aware than the average person. And that awareness is half the battle, if there's a battle.
Yep. And I want to do repeat that I do practice this. Gladys keeps calling me a unicorn. And
you
I
call
do
yourself
generally.
A unicorn.
I know. I call myself a unicorn too, because I feel like a pink fluffy unicorn, and that's what my kids call me. But in order for me to stay that pink fluffy unicorn, I have to practice this daily. I meditate every single day. I do my gratitude journal. I do my intention journal and all these things. And when I feel like, you know, things are not energetically going where I want, I go in and I journal and I do these things. It's not, it never ends. And even Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, she does these things daily, and she is like super connected to the source.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She has access to Abraham and she still has to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is what the human experience is about, right? It is, yeah. It is to be able to come here. You know, if we chose to come here, as Ula has said in the past, for contrast. And the contrast can only come through those moments where things feel hard to then remind you that you want things to feel more easy. And that is the journey of expansion. So everything is serving you to continue your journey of expansion. Nothing is accidental. Everything has purpose. And swimming upstream, if you've been doing it for decades like I was, it's okay because you've become an amazing swimmer. Now you really get to indulge in the luxury of just being in the water. Because you know that you know how to swim when the current is smashing in your face. So now you can bask in the sun. Let those ocean waves gently caress you and be taken to where your dreams want to take you. It really can be that beautiful. And contrast will keep coming. The jellyfish will, you know, start sucking on your leg and it's going to hurt like a motherfucker. But you're still good. And this is something that goes back again. I think it's so worthy of reinforcing. It goes back to trust, which then develops into belief, which then ultimately just becomes a knowing.
Absolutely. If we're in church, I would say amen. Yeah, you could pass a collection plate on that note.
That's how easy it is to make money. Speaking of, you guys, I just have to put it in here. We're not going to get into it because I know we're running out of time. But look, at if you guys want to see how amazing it is to make money, and I have been so fascinated by this, go check out the crypto world. Go look at NFTs. I mean, there is magical shit happening right now where people are making money doing hardly anything other than just what they think is fun. And they're being rewarded or compensated for it in such big ways. Like, we really are also entering into a brand new time in our relationship with money and how it is that we receive value from other for our natural gifts. Some of us are great at just taking selfies of themselves in amazing outfits, and then they get sent shitload of outfits and get paid for for posts. Other people are artists, right? They know how to create amazing digital art. They're now getting compensated for that in such fun, easy ways. So just stay open to the realities that we are living in different times, and you can receive everything you desire without the suffering to go with it. So with that, final thoughts, Ula, Kirk.
I think you said it, and Kirk said amen to it. So I don't think I have anything to add to that. I feel extremely complete on this.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just, for the audience, remember a lot of the stuff that we do when we beat ourselves up is a programming, and it's not who you truly are. So start looking at ways to let that go just by telling yourself, oh, I can do life differently. I can do it in a more effortless way. And start reinforcing your reality by looking at other people who are living the life that you want to live, the magical life. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, bless them. Don't judge them. Because a lot of times, he inherited his money. Didn't work for it. We have this judgment around. So look, one of the things that I've learned from you, Gladys, is just looking at different stuff that I want and play with the idea of it. Play, what does it feel like to be here, to visit here, all of that. So again, getting back to the childlike side of us and play a little more. Don't take this life too seriously. If you want to be enlightened, lighten up. You know, that's pretty much what it is. I had to learn that. I'm Scorpio. I have very heavy energy. Wintertime comes, shit get dark. I had to learn to lighten up. because until I did that, life was just too much to bear. And seriously, you laugh, but it was just heavy. Shit was just heavy. But I had to learn to lighten up. I had to learn to laugh at myself. So if you could do that, to laugh at yourself, it gets easier.
Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Ula, so much. Everybody, to learn more about Kirk, go to our show notes. You'll get some beautiful information about how to learn from Kirk's wisdom, be able to indulge in his beautiful teachings that are out there. And for everybody that wants to take this a step further, make a fun little list of the things that in your life where you feel you're swimming upstream. And then ask yourself, if I'm a creator, how do I want this direction to go? And then allow yourself to believe that that new direction is possible. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys.